Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bitter film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condo with a Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
You got something stuck in your teeth there, Ben? You're getting it, working it out?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe there's something in there, but you know, I don't think there is after all.
Sometimes you just gotta go in there and just check.
Yeah.
Poke popcorn. Around for a bit.
Ooh, exactly.
What's this?
A popcorn kernel trapped in your teeth is like the worst thing ever, right?
It puts me off popcorn a lot of times. It's difficult to get out.
Do you want some popcorn? No! Have you ever got one of those kernels trapped in your tooth? Jesus.
I quite like the unpopped ones where you have to bite down feel like something in your face is going to break.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. That's not a sensation I enjoy. I tend to like bite my fingernails, and before I got a fingernail trapped between my teeth.
Oh, that's bad, yeah. Do you bite your beard? Like when your beard's a bit longer, do you bite it?
When it's longer, yeah. I give it a trim recently. But yeah, bite it, suck on it. Get these little bits that are there and put them in my mouth.
The tassels.
Bite them.
I'm trimming my
trimming my beard with my teeth sometimes. I was like,
yeah.
That's not good.
So beard hairs like tend to get rooted into like the roof of my mouth and I just can't get them out. So I have to get a cat with like tweezers, deep diving.
You have to get a cat with tweezers to just come in. This is a horrible way to start a podcast.
People can relate.
Yeah, loads of people are nodding. Even people without beards are nodding, going,
all horror fans have beards and nails. Or one or the other.
Are we alienating our female audience or are we insulting them?
They've got nails. I'd be surprised. I don't think females might be going out of the limit. I don't think they bite their nails as much as males do. Do they? I don't know. Let's find out.
I don't know if I'd be able to commit to it. Let's do a really interesting poll. Yeah, but sometimes women have got like fake nails.
Yeah, you can't buy them.
Can't buy them? What a waste of money.
No. Okay, so before we get into the film of the day, have you got any other guffs you want to talk about?
You know what? I haven't watched all that much this week.
No.
It's been 2 weeks, and I'm surprised I haven't watched all that much. I've been doing a little bit of Oscar catch-up stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, awards ceremonies, you get a bit of a bad rap, but I enjoyed them.
You're into them, aren't you? Make predictions.
I do predictions. I do all that stuff. I enjoy the pomp and the, you know.
You dress up for the night.
I dress up for the night, yeah.
Put the red carpet in the front garden. Yeah,
put on my best fleece.
Fleece. You haven't blessed by a priest. The priest blessed
by a priest. But this year was the first year that I was like, I'm going to watch every single one of the Best Picture nominations. And then I like forgot about one, which is annoying, isn't it?
Well, what do you mean? Which one did you forget about? I
forgot about Vice with Christian Bale. I was like, oh no, was that nominated? Oh, bollocks. And it was like the ceremony was already starting. And I thought, I can't watch it now. That would be just like mental. Yeah. One eye on each thing.
You see all the hate about the Green Book? Like tons of hate flapping around.
Yeah, there's a little bit of hate about it, but I enjoyed it. And I
liked it.
I liked it. I mean, it's getting a bit of hate because they think they're overdoing that old white savior thing. But at the same time, I think it's a film about friendship between two very different men. And yeah, I know. I guess there are a lot of films that get snubbed by the Oscars. And, you know, there's an Oscar sort of Oscar. What word were we thinking of? Where Wild. It's like,
I don't know.
Oscar one. It's like made, and it's almost made for the Oscars. Like, you look at that. Like, ah,
yeah, Oscar bait.
Oscar bait, yeah. There are a lot of films like that. But then I enjoyed everything this year. I enjoyed Bohemian Rhapsody. That got slated quite a lot.
Yeah.
I just think we've got to enjoy films for what they are now. And I know a lot of categories got, like, possibly bombed jettisoned. Out. There was going to be a popular, best popular film category, which is a bit, would have been a bit strange. I quite like him, and I know it's a bit shit, but I enjoy a lot of award stuff. Like, obviously we saw the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards as well, which I wanted to have a little talk about. So did you do a little vote?
Yeah, I did my votes. I can't remember what I didn't write down what I voted for, but I'm pretty sure most of the stuff I voted for, when I read what won, I was like, oh yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I went for that.
So what you're saying is they just bypassed all the votes. They just got mine. Luke Combs.
This guy's got a podcast. He knows what he's talking about.
This guy's definitely got a podcast. So let's sort out. Yeah. So I did some of them. So what kind of things do we get? Like Hereditary and Toni Collette and Mandy and Nicolas Cage. We're like best creature effects went for The Ritual. Best makeup effects went to Suspiria. Best screenplay was for Hereditary. Best director was Ari Aster for Hereditary. Best score, Johan Johansson, the late Johan Johansson for Mandy.
I think there'll be a Tony sequel Collette. To Hereditary called His and Her Hereditary.
His and Hereditary.
His Hereditary.
Possibly.
Definitely.
But yeah, so like obviously it was quite interesting because horror is obviously something that gets notoriously snubbed by major awards.
Kicked in the groin often.
It gets stabbed in the gooch by
bloody hell.
Bloody hell. Honest, horrible. Just imagine that for a second. You think, like, in terms of outstanding performances for actress in a leading role, like Toni Collette is one that obviously stands out. And it is strange that not even one major.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure someone somewhere did. But yeah, so it's good for Fangoria to do this and give a lot of love to stuff. And people are, you know, it happened the same night as the Oscar night, which is lovely, isn't it? It's a lovely little thing.
Go on. Normally when I hear the word outstanding, I think of outstanding bills. And I think, oh God.
Outstanding bills. Have you heard about that farmer?
No.
He's outstanding in his field.
Classic.
I've definitely told that wrong, but at the same time.
It's good. Have you heard about the magic tractor?
Go on.
Turned into a field.
That's good as well.
That is my farmer story. Yeah,
I ain't got anything else going.
No, don't worry about it.
Yeah, so that was nice. And apart from that, sorry, I've completely gone off on a tangent. But in terms of other guffs, I've just been watching The Umbrella Academy. I've been watching it.
Yeah,
I've only seen two episodes, but the Netflix series based on the Gerard Way comic. With loads of big names in it. So like Ellen Page. Robert Sheehan, some other people. Oh, I'm missing people out. Loads of people. Lovely soundtrack. Loads of good music. It feels like Watchmen. It feels like Watchmen set in like a X-Men style, you know, school type thing. And I read a few of the comics like a long time ago when I was like banging to My Chemical Romance, and I was like, oh yeah, he's written a comic, and I read a few things, but I didn't remember much about it. But
it's
good. It's good.
It's meant to be really good.
It's great. It's really it's stylish. It's the story's good. Loads of good performances. And it must have quite a big budget because it looks tasty. There's like a CGI chimpanzee man.
Oh yeah. CGI chimpanzee, comma man, or is it
comma man?
Or is it chimpanzee man?
Either or, and it was definitely Andy Serkis. Without a doubt. I looked at him, I went, Andy Serkis again. You're in everything.
Yeah, bless him.
Yeah, I bet if there's someone out there doing that chimpanzee, who was doing it before, he's just found out and gone, right, get him on the phone. He's not good enough. I'm going to to question him over the phone.
Yeah, it's cornered, cornered the marketplace for CGI chimpanzees. He played Caesar, and he did it so well. People were like,
if anyone else does it, it's like they're on his territory.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
The story went about people walking through Hollywood and someone sees them and goes, you're exactly what I'm looking for. Like, they saw Andy Serkis and went, you're exactly what I'm looking for. And it turned out to be a CGI monkey.
No, he's peeling a banana at the time. He went, and they went, you're exactly what I'm looking for. Doing a reboot of Planet of the Apes.
Now get out of the tree.
get out of that tree.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it without Mark Wahlberg. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. Umbrella Academy. I've not seen it yet. I will watch it at some point. TV is a weird one. I don't tend to go in unless something is really hitting that note for me. Because I just feel like it's a big investment.
Same here. It's only 10 episodes, though. And I feel like, I don't know, it felt like something I was hyped enough for to jump into. There's loads of stuff that has got a lot of hype that I've not bothered with, like Russian Doll, like you told me about. And
that's good. Yeah,
and other things, Crime Watch. Oh, I don't know.
So it did to me. So I didn't watch much at all. I've been a bit ill the past few days, but I've been reading a bit of bizarro fiction. Have you heard of bizarro fiction?
Mm.
So it's a whole genre of sort of slightly off kilter, out there, semi horror related books and novels and stuff from it, mainly out of Portland, Oregon. And the one book I read, there's a book called The Baby Jesus Butt Plug. And it was about...
Why did you go for that one, Luke?
Well, so there's a starter kit, like these starter books, and this was one of them.
How did you get a hold of these?
I just bought them on the old Kindle.
Oh.
So Baby Jesus Butt Plug is about a husband and wife. They go out and they buy a pet baby Jesus, and they don't tell anyone, but they plan on using him as a butt plug. And it just goes increasingly strange and bizarre from there. And it ends...
How and where do you buy a baby Jesus? And what is
this? This is in a weird alternate reality where you could buy a pet baby anything. So there's like a pet baby, like it's like film stars, and people have them running around. And then there's pet baby Jesuses.
And they're going to use him as a butt plug. Is that right?
And
is this allowed?
If things go a bit strange when the pet baby Jesus starts to like they find him crucified, and like it's his first crucifixion, and he starts raising things from the dead, and stuff. It turns into a big sort of maelstrom
Who's getting the baby Jesus has a butt plug in their bum?
Who's getting the butt plug of the? Oh, okay. In this, I think they take it in turns. If I remember correctly,
is the baby can't be complicit in this?
I don't really touch on that really. But the baby Jesus isn't good. It's an evil baby Jesus.
So you don't want it to be bum.
No, they get very scared of it.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's so
That could have been an interesting enough story without the butt plug element. Or do you think the butt plug element makes it?
I think maybe just had that title and was like, okay, I'll write it.
Yeah. This is great.
Yeah, that's what you need, really. There's another story in this little starter pack called Extinction Journals, and it's written by Jeremy Robert Johnson, who, remember I lent you that book in the river?
Yeah.
So it's
you did lend
guy.
It to me. Did I give it back to you?
I've not seen you since, I think. But so that's like a post-apocalyptic thing about a guy who survived the apocalypse, the nuclear apocalypse, by making a suit out of cockroaches. And he's got this sort of like full suit made of cockroaches. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely insane.
They're alive.
They're alive, yeah. So they're constantly moving around, and he's sort of he needs to feed them and stuff. And they start to have babies. It gets pretty insane. It starts with the suit of cockroaches eating the president, who was wearing a suit made of Twinkies, and that's how he survived.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like utterly, utterly insane, and it is. But it has a lot of heart to it, and like it does draw you in towards the end. And it
sounds utterly, utterly insane.
Well, okay,
and it is.
There's also like a Cyclops god creature made of colors. Flying around the apocalypse, like it's like a 70s cult So what they say about the bizarro genre, they say it's like the cult section of a video store back in like the 80s or something. It's where you find Eraserhead and Lloyd Kaufman movies. It's that, those sort of off-kilter, bizarre films, but in like a book form. It's good. It's a lot of fun. It's not what you would expect from normal fiction.
Do you want to be a film adaptation of the Baby Jesus butt plug anytime soon?
One can only hope. One can only hope. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. But other than that, no, I've not really watched anything, to be honest. But
except the inside of your eyelids.
Exactly. Yeah. So we watched this film. Where did the suggestion for this film come from?
So this film was suggested on Twitter by. It was suggested by somebody. I think it might have been John Connolly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was, and I think he suggested it. I did a little bit of research on it because I'd seen it sort of banded about. You know what I mean? Banded about.
No, I saw it banded about. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it banded about, so I thought, yeah, I'll have a little look at this, and I kind of did a little bit of research, and I thought sounds fairly interesting. So yeah, gave it a little go, and it definitely wasn't what I was expecting, but that's good sometimes, isn't it?
Okay, so just before we go on, we're going to be talking about spoilers. I would say this film only really works maybe it's not the case, but there's a big twist, like there's a couple of changes throughout the film that would be more effective if you just don't know those going in. I think so, anyway. There are going to be spoilers in this. Probably watch the film first, or you know, if you're not interested in that kind of thing, or you don't get affected by it, keep on listening.
Yeah. Yeah, keep on listening. Don't get rid of everyone just yet, but you know.
Yeah.
Don't run away just yet, but yeah, we're going to be talking about spoilers, and we couldn't really find like a really in-depth plot summary, could we? So I guess we're just going to be pretty much using our
imaginations.
There's
a butt plug in there somewhere, I think.
There's a bloody butt plug in there somewhere. Yeah. Bloody baby Jesus is something, I don't know.
Yeah. This is called One Cut of the Dead, or Camera o Tomaruna. That's the original title.
Which means, don't stop the camera.
That what it means? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice trivia.
ruined the first trivia question.
You got any info on the film for us?
Yep. So it's a 2017 Japanese zombie comedy film directed by Shinichiro Ueda. It was made with a low budget of 3 million yen. That's like 4 quid, isn't it? with a cast of unknown actors. So basically, the premise...
You had no idea who the actors were. Who are you? You could be in the film. Sure.
You're unknown, aren't you? So basically, things go badly for a hack director, bit harsh, and a film crew shooting a low-budget zombie movie in an abandoned World War II Japanese facility when they are attacked by real zombies.
Yeah. Yep. That's all correct. So
that is correct.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes. 100%. That's pretty good. 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb. And it's like... It's the kind of film where I've seen people on Twitter say they called it a film festival and it was the best film of the festival. It's the best thing since Shaun of the Dead in terms of horror comedies. I would argue that it's not really, I don't know, the first 30 minutes is a horror movie, but then it's not really at any point after that. But it's
almost like a feel good.
Yeah. Family drama.
Filmmaking, family drama.
Yeah.
With some questions, I don't know what your soundtrack was like, because I know sometimes we do this when we've watched like Asian films and stuff. Soundtrack could be a bit different. The soundtrack on mine was really like upbeat, chirpy, almost like in-betweeners music.
Mate, I've written that down. I've written it's got the in-betweeners music in it. Yeah, I'm glad you got that as well. I wrote that exact same thing down. This is like the in-betweeners. It's weird. So you go into it and you've got all these high expectations and like the budget is low, you can tell. And it's like, there's a lot of slow moving parts to it that just seem to drag. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm really enjoying this. This is hard work actually. But then the film twists in a way where all the things that were kind of hard work or a little bit strange just become punchlines for jokes.
Yeah. They just make sense. Things that you were like, I don't like that, or that's a bit iffy, or that's a bit dodgy, that's a bit naff, kind of just becomes... So basically, I guess we're going to spoil it. But this film is essentially in three parts. So the first part is like a one cut zombie movie from the point of view of the audience would be watching any old zombie movie.
Yeah.
But obviously it is about a film being made.
Yeah.
That is the premise. But then the second act is about sort of like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The making casting, of the casting. Yeah.
Of that jazz.
Of this pseudo zombie movie.
Yeah.
And then the third act is basically a making of featurette where we see the first act, but from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And see it all coming together and everything that's behind the scenes and the difficulty of something that is going out live and with in one cut
for and like a with new... every actor having some sort of issue.
Yeah.
And presents some... itself and you have to improvise around those issues as they go.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a point to make that I put down here, which I need to make. I don't know. You might not have had this. It might just been mine. I had slightly racist subtitles. Now, let me explain. It only happened with one character, right? So there's like a female who's like involved in the network somehow, and she's got quite a. I don't really mean to her, but she's got quite.
She's a character actress.
She's Bless. Got a very interesting head, like a very oblong head.
Yeah.
And my subtitles, when she spoke, put like R's where the L's were. I'm not even joking. I had racist subtitles. Where someone's subtitled that and they've gone, I'm going to put R's where the L's are in some sort of racist Asian caricature.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Just that character.
Just that character.
And she was like a really over the top stereotype.
She was over the top, but what's happened there is somebody.
Do you know like one of those cats that do that? You know, like the porcelain cats?
Yeah. That might be racist as well. But I was thinking, has someone like English or English speaking done these and they've gone, I'll do that for a laugh? Or has someone ate?
Yeah.
That's weird. I was confused. Anyway, so, but I'm assuming you didn't have racist subtitles.
No, I don't see racist.
I see what you're saying.
I think my mind corrects them.
Your mind corrects them. You saw those racist subtitles and you went, that can't be right. Not in 2019.
Yeah.
Ignored.
Yeah. I think there's a few actors. They're all unknown, but we have the names here. So now they are known. But the one I really want to talk about is Takayuki Hamatsu, who plays the director Higurashi. He's amazing. Like I thought he was like, this is like a star making turn. Like, he was so funny and so in the he just seemed to be far more into the film as a character than anyone else acting around him.
He had to play a lot of different roles where he was obviously playing the director character who was like very passionate, almost like making the film happen with real zombies.
Yeah.
So in the context of this film, obviously. And then obviously when we see him make behind the scenes, he pretty much goes into the film last minute.
Yeah.
When do some people die?
What do you mean?
Have a car accident or something? Is that why he ends up being in the film? They say something about two people being in a car together. And I was a bit like, did they die?
Oh, so that's the so the original actors playing the two lead characters, the director and the white and the makeup artist.
Yeah.
They were. I didn't get that impression. I got the impression that they'd been sleeping together or something.
Yeah.
And they both had the baby. She has a baby in the.
It don't happen that quickly.
What do you mean?
Oh, I thought you meant they've been sleeping together. Like that week, they've been sleeping together. Next week, right. she had a baby.
But I mean, I heard the baby wasn't in the car. Like they didn't really touch on that. But yeah, he's good. There's a lot of good actors. I really like the guy who played Hosada as well.
Hosada.
He's like the drunk guy.
Oh yeah, he was great. Yeah, yeah. So there was like a guy playing a zombie who was like an actor who was a bit downbeat and the former alcoholic. And he's sort of like, I've given up the booze, you know, so I can see my daughter. But then when they start filming the zombie film, he's off his nut. He's been on the special brew.
Yeah.
So the film starts with basically a 37 minute one cut zombie film with the actual director of the film playing the director and then lots of other actors playing these characters. So in this initial stage, if you don't know anything about the film, you see it from this point of view as I guess you think this is the film.
Yeah. I remember, so I kind of knew that I knew the twist going into this, but I remember seeing someone talk about, maybe on a Letterboxd review or something, that they really struggled with the first 20 minutes because they thought that was the actual, that was the be all end all of the film.
Yeah, I think I was there with it as well, that I kind of thought that was the film. Yeah, but it was a bit of a struggle, obviously, because I guess that was part of its charm.
Yeah.
Was the fact that it was mega low budget and, you know, it did look a bit ropey and looked a bit naff and fake hands and fake things. And when you actually think that is the film, I guess you do think, oh, this is kind of a bit crap. But you'll go with it because it is one cut. Do you know what I mean? Or I don't know. I could kind of see where the cuts would be, though.
I could. If they were there, I could see them.
if they were there, I could see. There were a couple of times like when a camera got left on the floor.
Yeah. Like someone would go through from outside to inside and exposure goes really dark, so they could probably cut that there. I don't know, but so it starts off with a guy, they're trying to make a zombie movie in this abandoned water treatment plant, and the director is really angry because he's not getting a believable performance from his actors, so he goes
I think they're on like cut 42 or something,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. So and then whilst the director goes off for a break or something, the makeup artist tells the lead actors this is actually like a place where they used to do experiments, and there's tales of zombies and stuff. And then they get actual zombies start to appear and start to attack.
Yes. So like a guy goes out for a cigarette, what is he, just like a cameraman or something? And then we see the first zombie who is, well, again, he just kind of just turns up. Just see the thing is, because I've seen it from a different perspective, it's now hard to discuss it from the first perspective. Zombie kind of like just leans on his shoulder and then like spits in his face.
Yeah.
And he bites his arm off, and that arm gets thrown in.
Yeah.
I don't know who by it was supposed to be at this point.
Yeah.
There's a zombie, throw it in, gets thrown into where all the other main characters are.
Yeah. And he obviously bit it then so hard it pops off the shoulder. And
exactly.
Yeah.
And then chaos ensues. People getting chased around by like various zombies, and then the makeup artist goes a bit rogue.
Yeah.
she's
attacking someone who she thinks has been bitten.
Yeah, classic. That always happens in a zombie film. Have you been bitten? Show me your arms.
I haven't.
Yeah, I think the main actress has had a little nibble on the ankle.
Yeah.
Or something, or she's got something on her.
Well, so she realizes in the film that it's actually makeup. The bite mark from the film within the film.
Yeah.
So she takes it off and she goes like, oh, could have just shown that woman that anyway. But by that point, everyone's dead anyway.
By that point, everyone's dead. Yeah, exactly. Always happens, doesn't it?
There's the bit with the sound guy just wants to leave as the director's sort of trying to keep him in. And it seems really bizarre, like his performance at the time. Because
so he's a little bit all over the place. And obviously the point of view of the director is that while the cast are being attacked by real zombies, he's basically filming it all unfold. He's just saying action and throwing a zombie in at them, for example.
Yeah.
And just sort of filming everything. So, you know, he's working on what he's got.
And it's, you know, it's difficult to explain how it is. Like, it's funny and it is good, all right to watch, but it's not, you know, it hasn't got the polish of a proper full feature film sort of thing.
No.
And they're running around a lot. There's a lot of like empty space of just like nothing really happening. A lot of writhing and wrestling.
A lot of close-ups on people screaming for about a minute and a half.
Yeah. There's one bit when it's on the lead actress. I think it must be like 4 minutes or something. And it's like constantly on. It's just like she's getting exhausted. And then it cuts back and then someone's been stabbed in the head or something.
So obviously the sound guy comes back as a zombie and runs in after all the main actors, and he ends up getting axed in the head by the makeup artist, and then we see like a classic headless body on the floor, which is just like a mannequin. So I mean, like, production value at this stage, again, if you're watching this film and taking it for what it is at this point in the running time, you are kind of thinking, oh, it is a bit ropey, but yeah. But then things obviously start to make sense as.
Yeah. So it wraps up with a nice crane shot at the end, pulling back at the top, and it shows the lead actress. She's just been chopping everyone up with an axe. She chopped the director up.
She chops the director up, yeah.
And then she's standing above like a pentagram made of blood. And the crane shot goes up and the credits roll. And it's quite well done, really, for our last take.
It's quite well done. Bit wobbly, don't it?
Bit wobbly, but it's,
Were you thinking out of the time?
No, I think I was a little bit out of it by that point. I was like, bloody hell, this is a peculiar film.
Yeah. This is a peculiar thing. You were out of it.
Yeah.
You're off your nut, mate, weren't you?
Yeah.
You're off your nut on street drugs.
But so then it cuts to black, and then we, I think we have,
and then we get the in between as we say, din 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 din.
Yeah, there's like a rock music, like it's almost like a garage band rock music loop number two.
This happens a lot in Japanese media. Like you get it a lot with Japanese games as well. So no matter what the vibe of the game or the thing, the end credits or the end sequence or something like that will always be like a random song.
Yeah.
This doesn't quite feel like it fits, but obviously I guess it's iconic for that reason.
Yeah. I think we cut back to 30 a month earlier or something. And it's the director, the same guy from before. He is directing, karaoke videos or something really bad. Like cheap and I think when they ask him, the commissioners ask him to make the film, he says, "I'm cheap, fast, but average," or something. Oh. He makes like a little joke about it.
I mean, that's pretty. He's selling himself there.
Yeah.
I mean, I might sell myself like that: cheap, fast, and average. Come on.
And then they're like, "Look, we want to make a zombie movie all in one take for our new zombie channel."
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For like no money or something, all in one go, can you do it?
For £4.50.
Yeah. And his reaction is it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And then I guess we just get the casting part of it for a while.
So we're introduced to the director's family. He lives with his wife and his sort of like teenage daughter.
Did you think their house was very English looking? Like very sort of standard English?
It was very small.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're like,
I guess so.
I don't know, I just kind of expected it to be more Japanese-y.
what do you think, maybe
like Walla or something, or like but all the meat. In fact, I did notice everyone was wearing very strange English t-shirts with like weird English slogans on. One of them said something like, "I am not here, I am thrilled," or something like bizarre.
They were like, when people were making the film, like everything was in English, which is strange, really, isn't it? Like the title of the film's in English, and
because they've got the t-shirt, the One Cut for the Dead.
One Cut of the Dead and crew and all this stuff. Yeah, it was a bit weird. We're introduced to the family and obviously the daughter, and she's she's like worshipping this sort of young actor who ends up being in the film, as basically the lead love interest in the film. So she's obviously swooning over him. And then we kind of just see the film coming together, and obviously we see the sound guy who was in obviously the original, and he has got diarrhea problems. And
if he drinks hard water instead of soft water, he gets diarrhea. So he constantly wants to know about where the toilets are, which is a joke at that point. It's like, okay, we get it. Right?
We get it. Yeah, but I emailed you before and asked and told you, please remember that I'd need a shit every 5 minutes. And then there's obviously a hilarious moment where he drinks the wrong water when they're doing like some sort of reading or something. Then he drinks the wrong water. Then he goes,
he spits it back into his face or something. There's a nerdy guy. I don't know what his job is in the film. He's not. Another guy with the glasses, slightly buzz-eyed.
I think he's just an actor in the film, isn't he?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like a producer. And then there's like the heads of the studio, I guess. It was the woman with the quite large head who I had racist subtitles for.
Right.
And then we're obviously introduced to the alcoholic dude or former alcoholic dude who tells quite a horrible story, but it gets played off as a bit of a joke where he's like, I don't have access to my daughter anymore. And one time I did, and then I stood her up and they're like, oh, what are you like? He's like, my life's mental, but I like it that way.
And then he starts crying. And then we find out the director is feeling a little bit of a parallel with his own daughter. She's also making films, and they used to make films as kids. when she was a kid, he was a man. And
I used to be a man.
He's looking at his photos, crying at one point, and his photos of his daughter on his shoulders, holding a camera. And he's like, I think he wants to rebuild some of that relationship with his daughter.
Yeah.
His wife wants to be an actor. Well, used to be an actress, but she gets so invested in a role, she loses herself in the roles, and she broke a guy's arm once, so she had to
Christian Bale.
Give up. Yeah, she had to give up acting for a while after that.
You got this little role, right? You got a speaking part. She's like, yeah, but I'm going to put on 3 stone for it. No, you don't have to do that. 6 stone, 8, 9 stone.
Yeah, no, it's okay. He's already got the cake.
Yeah, I already got a kick. We're filming next week. I could put 9 stone on in a wee, though. You worry about it. Gnawing on a
drinking lard.
Drinking lard, yeah. Microwaving Ben and Jerry's and just necking it.
So the wife also has. She likes to watch these self defense videos. She has lots of hobbies. There's a bit earlier within the film, where she's doing the same demonstrations to the people. It's like, it's a weird thing to put into the actual film.
But obviously we find out why.
Yeah, yeah.
At a point. So, yeah, it's just obviously self-defense thing where so if a man gets his arms around you, right, from behind, I kept thinking, would that work?
No.
Did you get thinking that? Yeah, you're going to stick your arms up and you say, palm. But that palm bit, is that supposed to like disorientate the person? Palm! And you go, whoa!
I don't know. So then there's also people cast as a director and the makeup artist that we know aren't going to end up in the film, but they're in a car crash at some point and they die.
They're in a car crash or one of them has a baby, or maybe they're noshing each other off or something happens, or maybe they die. I was a bit unsure on all of this.
But then we come towards the final third of the film, I guess, is when they're actually making the film. Everything's good to go. Everyone's in their places and positions, and then the director has to step in to play as the director.
Yeah, so he's like, I know this role, I know everything, and you know, I'm confident enough in doing it. I did some acting back in the day.
Yeah,
but then they're like, we haven't got a makeup artist either. So he's like, my wife, she knows the part. She's read
take
it.
So they say
take my word. They said she's read it 100 times. I think that's a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie. Probably
100 times,
even like 10 times.
Even 10 times, like come on now.
3 times at the most.
3 times, but then she steps in to play the makeup artist.
Yeah,
seamlessly.
Yeah. So then they're about to film. It's about to go live on this new horror channel. They're all good to go. Instantly, the director, he almost like uses this idea of him being a director in the film as a chance to vent all of his frustrations with the actress. He starts like slapping the sort of annoying actor who won't listen to him in the face. He starts like pushing the woman who won't act properly.
Because I kept thinking, like, this guy, he's a really nice man.
Yeah,
like, he speaks to everybody. He's so polite. He speaks to everyone like he's understanding of everybody's story. But then there is a level of frustration that he has. And obviously, when as soon as it starts filming, he just lets that all come out. He goes off script.
Yeah, he finds a way to sort of, because everyone uses his politeness as a way to push him into doing stuff he doesn't want to do, basically.
Yeah.
But now he's like, he's set free through the mask of a character. But then things start just going off the rails pretty quickly. The guy who, Hosada, his hand started to shake, so he got absolutely wasted. There's a bit, I laughed out loud at the bit where he's on the floor drunk, and then he picks him up, and the director shoves his face into the window. Earlier in the film, I was like, God, his face is crazy, is that zombie? Now he realizes he's completely zonked out, drunk.
He's drunk. And obviously he attacks the guy outside as well, and the director's just basically holding him up and trying to get him to, obviously he's out of shot, but he's trying to hold him up to get...
Yeah.
I kept thinking, like, I'm assuming that the first, to the actual one cut film we saw, the first 30 minutes of the film, I'm assuming it wasn't being made
at
the same time as the first.
I think that must be far too difficult.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because there's even a bit at the end of the film where we see the actual crew filming the film within a film. They're filming the film within a film.
Yeah.
And like, that was blowing my mind. You know what I mean?
It's
like, how many cameras, like, you go, how many cameras do you need for that? All right, we're making this film. How many cameras do you need? 2, 3, 4, 24 cameras. They've got it all going on.
There's a bit, so I think there's a bit where the Hosada, the drunk zombie, just disappears. They can't find him, so they get the people to improvise, the makeup artist and the two lead actors. And the way they get to do it, they have like placards, like signs that they show him off camera. But things early where we saw the three of them look towards something spooky happening, we realize now it's just a person holding a like instruction card to tell them.
Oh my god! Did the wind just make the door slam?
Yeah.
So bits that were earlier in the film, which were like a bit naff or a bit like you're uncertain about them, turn out to be things that are actually happening during the film.
Reasons for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, some people may have turned this film off after the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Or before the first 30 minutes, thinking, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
And they'd have never got the payoff.
There's a few great payoffs. So the bit with Hosada's face at the window was one of them.
Yeah.
And there's the bit with the sound guy who needs a poo.
Yeah. So the sound guy basically has drank the wrong water. And obviously during the first bit of the film, you think he's just a bit scared, so he runs off. But the truth is he just runs out because he needs to,
needs to
the toilet.
Yeah.
So he pretty much does. And the director basically just...
Well, he gets out and you hear him screaming because there's like loads of stagehands holding him, telling him you can't run away from the production of the film. He's screaming like because he needs a poo, and inside they're like, he's been gotten by a zombie.
Those are the screams of a man who's definitely been gotten by a zombie. I need a poo. Oh, he does. He shit himself.
He poos in the bushes, and whilst he's pooing in the bushes, the director's like, go on, get on with your job done to the makeup artist. So he's having his makeup. God.
If you're the makeup artist, you'd just be like, I am just going to wait for him to finish. Come on, we ain't got time. Get it on.
They're like brushing his face as he's making some little crazy noises.
Get his slap on.
Yeah. What a bit. Okay, so the wife who's playing the makeup artist is doing the exact same martial arts stuff she's been watching just to pass time. There's a guy with the glasses who gets spit on the face by the drunken guy. He starts screaming because he's got like this horrific stuff in his
face. I just thought that was some weird zombie.
Yeah,
like, they're doing some weird take on the zombie where they were spitting.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Acid or something. I don't know.
It just turned out to be alcoholic vomit.
Yeah.
And it also, so as they're doing all this stuff, various stuff goes wrong. But one of the big things that goes wrong is the crane that they're going to use. So that final shot we saw gets pushed off the roof and crashes into the ground. And it's like, okay, they're never going to be able to do that crane shot. But obviously they do because we've seen it. So they get up there. We see the director directing and acting at the same time, like trying to get cameras to wait for a moment before things happen around them. It's quite amazing. It's quite a sight to see.
Together. And it's one of those things where you're just like, you better get a good job from this, because he has absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
As in terms of this film.
He was so good on every level, every character level.
They better go, right, we've got a zombie TV channel. We want you to direct everything. You'd be exhausted. Yeah. Would you watch a TV channel dedicated to zombies?
No. Maybe a few years ago, but not anymore. So it all comes to a head, and the crane shot turned out to be a human pyramid. People sort of sitting on each other's backs. I guess they passed the camera upwards or something, I don't know. The director,
the director and his daughter on his shoulders. So that's sort of like the recreation of that picture, and that we saw earlier. So obviously they're having a moment as well within there.
It's nice that the family comes together to sort of put on this production.
It was and then that's pretty much it. And then we get like a nice, a proper crane shot. But I'm assuming it's what is it?
There's actually another crane shot behind that.
And then we get the in-betweeners music, you know, to really solidify. To really solidify, you know, that this isn't really a horror film. It is like a family drama, comedy, making of, satirical. There's loads going on. There's loads going on. But it is pretty genius, I think, because it does start out pretty tedious, I guess.
The first 30-40 minutes are quite difficult to stick through, unless you're a big fan of super low budget zombie productions. But then I say those final payoffs are some of the funniest moments I've seen in a good while.
Totally worth it, I think.
Okay, man, you have some trivia. This is difficult, by the way.
Oh, I bet it was.
We couldn't even find a plot summary. Trivia was even harder to come by. So, number one. What was the name of the proposed new zombie channel?
Oh, God. Zombie 24/7. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought you were going to get that one. It's just Zombie Channel. They don't really give it a name.
Oh.
Yeah. Number two.
Come on, guys. I think I said the box.
The film was made with a budget of 3 million yen. But what is that in US dollars?
US dollars? I actually have no idea. I said £4.50 just now, didn't I?
Yeah.
I reckon 100 grand.
It's 26, well, by current exchange rate, it's $26,991.
No way. Jesus.
So it costs just over 25K to make. Question three is, how much did it make? Was it A, $3 million, B, $25 million, or C, $250
million? $25
million. Correct, yeah. So it was made for 25K, and it made $25 million. It's pretty astonishing, really.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
Number four, this is part one of a planned trilogy of genre comedies that the director, Ueda, is calling his own Cornetto trilogy. You've got one cut of The Dead, two cuts of The Serial Killer, and three cuts of Beef, Please, Mr. Butcher. True or false?
It's got to be true.
It is true. Number five.
Three cuts of Beef, Please, Mr. Butcher. I look forward to that one.
Yeah. Number five. Okay, so the first 37 minutes were shot in one take. It took 2 days and how many actual takes for the crews to get the perfect one?
Can you imagine doing that?
Yeah.
22. That's a lot. That's too many. That's too many.
All right.
That's way too many. Eight.
took six takes to get that one they ended up with.
All bags.
Yeah. But then again, you know, it's like, it's only, I guess, the reset and the makeup.
Yeah, the reset. And then how many, I'd be the person who just walks into shop, just like smoking a tab or something.
We were watching, you know what else? I have another horror guff to jump back. We've been watching a bit of Angel. It's on Amazon Prime.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Blast from the past.
But I just keep seeing the cameraman pop up right in the corner of the screen.
Really?
Yeah. I think the first season, you know, it's very low budget and they're still finding their feet with it. But made for more than 25K, I imagine. So, what are you going to rate the film? Be an interesting one.
Oh, well, yeah. So, again, I found it quite difficult. First 30 minutes, thought this is going to be a dud. I'm not going to be that interested. But I think by the end of it, even though I wouldn't necessarily call it a straight-up horror film, I found it quite endearing and, you know, funny. Stuff that perhaps, if you just told me about it, I'd be like, that ain't funny, mate. That ain't funny. A bloody man having a shit when he gets his makeup done. I ain't interested.
It's like cartoon silly.
Yeah, but I find it funny, and I think it was pretty endearing. And you know, when all these things kept coming together in the background, you were a bit like, "Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, that's why. Oh yeah, okay, I got it." And I kind of did want it to be filmed at the same time as that third act was happening, because I just kept thinking,
"No idea how that would work." But
I have no idea how that would work. But at the same time, like, it just the effort that went into everything.
And then imagine another film of the filming of that filming.
Yeah.
It would
never end.
How big the camera's going to have to be by the end?
Oh, they'd be massive, wouldn't they? Oh, bloody massive.
Zoom in. There's that bit that's quite funny with the zooming camera. Do you know what's funny?
What bit?
So there's like the cameraman has an assistant camera girl. And then she keeps trying to explain how cool it would be to have a zoom bit. She keeps doing that in his face.
Oh yeah,
and then later on, when she gets the camera, she starts doing that, like twisting the thing. She trips over.
I don't remember that bit. That bit was lost on me. Maybe I had a wee. But yeah, I'd give it a B. I think.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm gonna go one more than that. I'm gonna give it a B+.
Oh, you always gotta do a one up on me, aren't you?
Yeah, but okay. I don't know what to say about it. I haven't really said. It's just. It's
nothing left to say.
When you see something that's so earnest, it's difficult. Yep.
Like, who's no earnest?
Ernest Hemingway. Ernest goes to prison. All of them.
Ernest.
All too earnest. Ernest Scared Stupid. Did you see that one?
Don't think so.
It sounds like it. There's a troll living in the tree. I remember really liking it as a kid. And Ernest goes to prison where there's like a doppelganger. I remember that one.
Oh, God. Sounds like Twilight Zone with Ernest.
Yeah. So, when a film's made with like no pretension at all, other than like they just want to make a fun, let's put on a show, let's make a fun zombie film. And it's just nice to watch. It's pleasant. Well, after the first 40 minutes.
Would you say it was belly warming? Heartwarming? It's like you've had a lovely hot meal.
Yeah, belly warming.
Belly warming. Like you've been eating your dinner with a hot plate on your belly.
Yeah. Do you do that?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Most of the time I use a cushion.
A hot cushion? For the cushion.
No. Just a regular room temperature cushion.
Do you like a hot water bottle? Cat's a fan of that.
Do you know what? Not usually, but if I'm feeling a bit poorly, hot water bottle sort me right out. It lasts all night as well.
Yeah, surprising how long they last for. Okay, so next week we are going to be talking about the next on the IGN list, I think. Is that correct?
I guess so, mate, but the world's our oyster, you know what I mean? We do whatever you want. Yeah. We do whatever you want, you know? You do whatever you want. Yeah, we'll probably do that now.
Well, it's okay.
Let's not lock ourselves into anything.
Okay, let's not tie ourselves down. Let's not stick the baby to the bed.
Because, I mean, I've got a suggestion, but I'll talk to you about that after.
The baby Jesus butt plug. I didn't know there was a film, but...
Yeah, I made it.
Yeah.
It's a budget of 3 million yen.
Okay, about £4.50. Good.
£4.50, exactly. I have 50p to spend. I bought a can of Coke with it afterward.
Nice. You can get a can of Coke for 50p. You were having a laugh.
maybe at a fucking touch shop at a... Scout Hut, but I'm not allowed near them anymore.
I think it's 65 minimum now, nowadays.
Yeah, I think it's 80p in my work canteen. Jesus.
You know, you get like, when they're a pound for a can of pop at like these fancy
places. I bought a Twix the other day for £1.
Yeah. So that's 50p per Twix. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, it's a good game. Okay, so as Ben's coughing up that Twix, this show is brought to you by Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rating and review in iTunes. And remember to subscribe. We've had a couple of ratings recently. It's been quite nice to see. And thanks to my co-host, Ben, for being a right or a dude.
Thank you very much, Luke.
Right. You okay?
Bye.
Okay.
You asked me if I was okay, and I was just like, bye. Wrap it up.
Like you had something shoved up there. Okay, right. I'll talk to you in a bit. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.